Now, I'd like to take three readings, please, from the Word of God. And the first one in the book of Psalms and Psalm number 14. The book of Psalms and Psalm number 14. Now, I'd like to take my reading at verse number 2, Psalm number 14, and verse number 2, and it says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Now over to the New Testament, please, to the Gospel of John and chapter 3. The verse that's on my heart is behind me on the wall, and the text there on the wall. But I would like to read it from the Word of God, because that is very important. So John's Gospel and chapter 3. And verse number 16. Happy to wait for everyone to find the place. I'd love for everyone to read it together. This is what it says. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, I would like to read that again, because quite a well-known verse, and often we read it just as another, like a memory verse nearly. We can recite it, can't we? But I'd like you to read it as if you're reading it for the first time. Let's read it together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now for my final verse, please. It's in the book of Peter, and it's the second epistle. Second epistle of Peter, towards the end of our Bible. And it's in chapter 3 and verse number 9. So 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. And this is what it says. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Let's read it together again, shall we? It won't do us any harm, is it? "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Well, friends, this evening I've selected three readings from the Word of God, the Bible, and I want to make that very clear right from the very outset that what we have read and from the Word of God is from God himself. We want you to appreciate that. It's not something that we've tried to get some good little poetic lines together or try to get something just to entertain you for an hour. My friend, this evening, this gospel message is the desire of the heart of from God himself, that you might listen to the way of salvation and understand that you have a soul that needs to be saved, and that soul will live on for all eternity. And so from the outset, we want you to understand, because as we look at these three verses, I want to highlight three things about God. The first thing is, in the book of Psalms and number 14, we've got God watching. God watching. Come over to the New Testament in John's Gospel in chapter 3, and we've not got God watching now, but we've got God working. God working. And when we come over into the Peter's epistle, that little verse we read there, we've got God waiting. God waiting. So those three things I want to highlight in your heart. I want you to be able to understand and we trust. My friend, we want you to see the movements of God. And we want to see the desire of God and the ambition of God. And we've got the, in Psalm 14, let's go through them again. We've got the eye of God and He's watching. We come over now when we see the movements of God and God's working. And we come over to the epistle of Peter. We've got the very patience of God and God is waiting and He's waiting for mankind. And I'm not sure whether this is the first gospel meeting you've sat in this evening, my dear friend. And if it is, I'm so glad to see you. And we're so glad and we're so thankful that you're here. But my friend, maybe there's one in the meeting and you've sat in a gospel meeting time in and time out. Maybe it's not just for days, but maybe it's for weeks and your numbers could go into years. But my friend, I'm so glad to say to you from the very heart of God, my friend, God is a patient God. And is a God that is very longing the well-being of your soul. And He longs that you might be saved, my friend. And we just trust that ere this meeting draws to a close, and long before that, that you'll just stop the resistance against God. And that you'll realize the patience of God. And that you'll understand that God loves you, my friend. And that you'll break down that proud or whatever it is before God. And just cry out to God, Lord, save me. My friend, let's just look at the very eye of God. It's interesting, you know, because what does the Bible say? The Lord looked down from heaven. The Lord looked down from heaven. My God just wants us to understand something about Him straight away, doesn't He? He wants us to appreciate the greatness of His person. My friend, I'm not sure how you estimate God in your heart or what perception you've got of the person of God Himself. The Bible tells us that there is one God, you know. The Bible wants us to understand. God Himself wants us to realize that there is one God, and not just one God, but one mediator. And He wants us to realize that there's one living God. Yes, we understand there are many gods in the world, and it's not my business to identify them tonight. My friend, this message is from the throne of God Himself, and He wants you to know that He's there, my friend. And He says, the Lord. What does that mean? It really speaks about the greatness of the Jehovah God, the self-existent God, the eternal God, the God that had no beginning, the very God of the past, the God of the present, and the eternal God of the future, the God that is the most powerful, the ever-existent, answering to none, everyone answerable to Him. My friend, I long in this meeting tonight that you might understand that there is a God, and that there is a living God, my friend, not a God that we can, that has ears that can't hear and eyes that can't see. My friend, that's not the God of heaven. We've learned something about Him. The Lord looked down from heaven. My friend, I just stand amazed at the greatness of God. You know, we read in the Bible, you know, that He speaks about Himself, the Lord. He sits on the circle of the earth. And He sits down and just observes the inhabitants thereof. That's what we read here, isn't it? He looked down from heaven upon the children of men. My friend, tonight we just said God is watching. And I can just see the eye of God tonight. And in our thoughts we've already wondered at the greatness of His person and the magnificence of His character. Yes, He sits and He looks at every single person on planet Earth tonight. How many is there? 7 billion or so. 7 billion people on planet Earth, and that's the ones that are just living now, let alone those that have lived the last 4,000 years or so. But my friend, God's interested in this day, in this month of June 2016. And right now, my friend, God is looking from heaven. And we can just embrace the saying this evening, and we sang that wonderful hymn of the Whosoever, which just embraces, and we'll learn that in a moment or two. But my friend, God is interested, not He is interested in all humanity. We're going to learn that shortly, that God doesn't want one person to escape his eye, and no one ever will, and no one ever can. But my friend, I want to make it personal tonight in these four walls. And we said it often and we'll say it again. We wish we could knock the walls down, don't we, to herald the message out to the streets. My friend, why? Because God is interested in your heart, my friend. And I am just longing tonight that you might just be, though you might have your friends beside you or your family beside you, but my friend, I want to say that God is interested in you, in you. And God looks down from heaven tonight and he sees you, my friend, and he knows all about you. And he looks, and it really means to look with the intent and not just a careless glance and not just, no, because we read this, he looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see. And there we see the eye of God piercing through, right down and through the roof. That's not even a glance that to hinder the eye of God. My friend, can I just say to you that you're special to the heart of God? I want you to know that God loves you, friend. We're going to see this shortly. That's why God's interested in you. Because God, you're his deep interest to the heart of God. You're the chief desire of the heart of God. And that's why he wants you to hear the message. Because God loves you and he longs to see you blessed. You see, my friend, you know what the problem is? That God looks down from heaven. And we read this. He longed to see if there are any that did understand or seek after him. I don't know what your thoughts are, as we've said already about God, but God's looking to see if there's any interest towards him. We long tonight that there might be, that the Spirit of God might stir up your heart, not just a conscious mind understanding, not just some simple basic, no, but God wants you to realize how you are before him. That's what God wants. That's what God's longing for, because that's what God wants you to understand. You see, he wants us to understand his character. See, God's holy, you know. God's pure. God's not a man like you or I that would say, no, God is a God of absolute intrinsic holiness and absolute righteous in every action and deed, because that's his person, that's who he is. And he looked down upon you and I. Can you and I say that's what you and I are? Can we look into our hearts, friend? Let's be honest in the meeting tonight. Can you and I, can we look into our heart and can we see, are we that? Are we pure? Are we holy? No, my friend, you know, God says that. He looked and he says, really, they've all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. My friend, can I say that God has made some very specific statements in the Bible? Some very clear, embracive, inclusive, leaving nobody out. And there's just basic statements, but are so striking to the heart when the reality of it fills the soul. When God says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, tonight, God wants us to understand that we have a need before him and it is our sin. It means that we're unclean before him. It means that we're not fit for the presence of God. It means that that impurity and that vileness that God looks upon us, God not measuring how much sin we've done, God not trying to equate the good from the bad, God's not weighing up your life in the righteous deeds and the unrighteous deeds, you might say. My friend, God looks beyond that and he looks right into the heart, and God just simply says this, that we've got a heart that's sinful and it needs to be cleansed. We have, my friend. God said it, and you know, it proves in our life. My friend, that's why the actions that we do really only spell out what's in the heart. God looks down from heaven. God's watching, friend. He knows all about us, more than just the name. He knows the condition of the heart. But I want to just take your mind now, not just to the eye of God, but to the movements of God. We want to look at God working, don't we? And God has just not left man to himself. And God hasn't just let man to go on in his own way, as it were, without any pursuing after him. My friend, I want to take you to this magnificent verse behind us, which displays to us the workings of God to be able to provide humanity a tremendous remedy for for their sin. And that's what God has done for God, and the same eternal God, the same majestic God. What's he done? He has so loved the world. My friend, we said before that you're special to God. This just proves it, doesn't it? You're part of the world, aren't you? The world of humanity, those that make up the human race. You're one of that 7 billion people on planet Earth today. You might think of such a large number, that just one of that number, so insignificant. God's not interested in me. My friend, he is. He is. He loves you, and he looks at you as a person, as an individual, because that's what we all are before God, separate individuals before him. And my friend, you're the object of his love. For God so loved the world. And really, you could put your name there. Take out the word world and put your own name there. I could say, for God so loved Andrew. Clive could put his name there. For God so loved Clive. My friend, put your name in there tonight. For God so loved you, my friend. So much so that he gave his only begotten Son. My, this takes us to how God manifested that love, how God demonstrates that love. And we notice that little thought we have. God is working. God is moving to do something, to accomplish a work. What is that? That he might make a way whereby every single person on planet Earth can have their sins forgiven. And my friend, that includes you. And that includes you. I want to take you to the person who he says that he gave his only begotten Son. Does that mean that this verse tells us something beautiful, you know? It tells us that it says his only begotten Son. It tells me here that God only had one Son. And the Bible tells us in another place he was his well-beloved Son. And his Son was so special to him. My friend, if I could just tell you something of the heart of God. We remembered that this morning, you know. We sat around a little table this morning with little emblems on it, just telling us, showing to us of the death of the Lord Jesus. And we remember the wonder of the affection of God towards his Son. You know, the Lord Jesus was the absolute delight of God's heart. He was so special. The Bible calls him thus his dear Son, the Son of his love. And you know something, my friend? That God did something with his Son. He gave his only begotten Son. What does it mean when he gave? Was it when he came from heaven that God gave him into this world? Oh, he did that too. Is that all he gave? My friend, I want to take you to the real working of God. Yes, he worked on this earth. God was manifested in the flesh. God was in Christ, the Bible says, reconciling the world unto himself. My friend, God was working through his Son. And there came to a moment when that work had to culminate to an end of a tremendous work, and it was a place called Calvary. Let me draw you to Calvary, my friend. My friend, to a man upon a middle cross. Yes, it was this man, the only begotten Son. Now where is he? He's upon a cross. And he's lifted up at Calvary, and God is giving his Son to the place called Calvary. Can I tell you something, what God did? God punished the Lord Jesus there upon the cross. That's what he did. You know, we read this in the Bible. It says, God commendeth his love toward us. God proved his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My friend, what is God telling me tonight? You might be saying, Andrew, what does God want me to know? My friend, I want to say this from the depths of our hearts, that the Lord Jesus died at Calvary for you, my friend, that he might pay the price that God demanded of our sin. Yes, God demands something of our sin, you know. God's just not going to let us go away and live our life and just do as we please. And the end of life, God shuts the curtain on our life, and that's the end of it. We vanish into thin air, as it were, and it's all over. That's the end for me. My friend, God says there is an accounting day. There is a day when we must be accountable before God and accountable for what we've done with the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, tonight, can I say to you from the word of God that God says he requireth that which is past, And God is saying that yes, there will be a day when that man upon the cross, in all the shame of Calvary, with all the hatred of it, my friend, can I say what was actually happening there? The Bible says he was actually suffering for our sin. Listen to this. Listen to what he says. The just one suffered for we the unjust. Why? Why would he do that? That he might bring us to God. Oh, friend, can't you see God working now? This is out of our hands. We're the one that God looks down from heaven. What does he see? He sees to the core of the heart. He sees us blackened sin, the Bible says. And he says, I'm longing for men and women and boys and girls to be in heaven with me. He says, I can't be in heaven just like that. That doesn't go with my character, with my person. It would be no different to earth if I let humanity into heaven like that. What would be the point? My friend, tonight God was doing a work that men and women and boys and girls could be taken, their sin taken away. And that's what he says this. He says that whosoever believeth in him. Friend, it's just simple as this. You and I are a distance from God. God in his righteousness, and God and you and I are down on this scene in our sin. The Lord Jesus is the mediator that has done a work to be able to satisfy the heart of God and to able to meet the need of you and I. And the Bible calls him the mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus, what to do? That he gave himself a ransom for all. My friend, tonight, can I tell you that the Lord Jesus is the means whereby we can have our way back to God? That's why the little poet says, yes, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open that all may go in. At Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. My friend, tonight, God wants to have a dealing with you about your sin. The Bible says the question rings out from the throne of God. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, God says, I know about your sin. So often we try to hide them. We try to cover them up, don't we? But God says this. Look, don't try and do that. He says, I know all about them. He says, you come and let us deal with them. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. My friend, tonight, God wants to cleanse you of your sin. He wants to take your sin away. And it can be possible tonight because the Lord Jesus did everything possible and that was required at Calvary. And tonight, God is able to say that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So in other words, God says this. I don't want to trust in you. I don't want you to trust in yourself because that's no good. You see, whosoever believeth in him. Whosoever trusts in what the Lord Jesus did, that yes, it was for them. Whosoever relies upon the work of Calvary and realizes that, yes, when he died for me. He says, whoever does that, he says, they would not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever told God that you're a sinner and you need a Savior? Have you ever realized that before a holy God that I'm guilty and I need that to be forgiven? Can I tell you that you can? You're able to, not because of me. You can't dress yourself up and because of your own good and self. No, God says this. He says, you can come to him because of what the Lord Jesus did for you and I. He says this. God says, I've done a marvelous work. I've worked and I've provided a way back to God, he says. He says, I've done everything possible to pave the way for every human being, that they just realize that they, you know, the Bible calls it repentance, you see. He says, if anybody realizes that what they are before God, and really they're saying, I'm taking sides with God, and you're saying, yes, God, you're just right. You're more or less saying that, yes, God, what you said about me is true, and I need to have my sins forgiven. And you turn and take sides with God, and you say, God, be merciful. to me a sinner. Friend, I want to ask you a question again. Have you ever trusted the Lord Jesus for your sins to be forgiven? Has there been a moment when you've just, not for the matter of words, or, my friend, don't even say anything aloud, but from the heart response, you see, it's the attitude of the heart. When you realize your guiltiness before God and you've realized you need a Savior, friend, it's a real thing when you're convicted of your sin. Remember it as a boy growing up, realizing the reality of my sin, sitting over there in a little seat in the gospel hall, my friend, just turning my face to the wall, owning up with my guiltiness before God, and just saying, God, be merciful to me. My friend, God just simply says this, I've done a tremendous work. I'm watching. I'm seeing you can't hide from me. He says, I've done a marvelous work. I've provided a tremendous remedy for your sin. And he says, I'm still waiting. God is not slack concerning his promise. God is not a God that's a forgetful God and has just forgotten all about this. My friend, it's just simply this. God says he's not willing that any should perish. That shows his love for you, my friend. That shows his love for me. Long years we could say we wasted the time just turning our back towards the kindness of God. My friend, tonight it's only the kindness and the goodness of God that brings us here today. And you're not here by chance, my friend, in the meeting. God has you here for a reason, that you might understand yet again the gospel. But my friend, yet again on top of that, because God's patient, he loves you, and he longs to see your sins forgiven, that you might be with him in heaven. Friend, God's a patient God, but one day that patience will end. Soon the Lord will come from heaven. Soon the great shout will sound, ring throughout the world, that all the saved ones, my friend, dead and alive, will be raptured up to his glory into the heavens. My friend, tonight God says, behold, now is the day of salvation. He says, don't keep putting it off. Don't keep putting it off and putting it off. Before I left to come over here from Australia to New Zealand, my friend, I had a lot of to deal with. A young man, 36 years of age. He had cancer. Can I tell you something, friend? He trusted the Savior 4 weeks before he died. Nearly too late, my friend. Nearly over the threshold into eternity. And he cried out to God to have mercy. And you know what his response was? I wish I had trusted him sooner. Friend, don't put off God's salvation. Trust the Lord Jesus while there is time. And while you listen further, as he brings us the message, you be serious about this matter and trust the Lord Jesus as your own Savior. May the Lord bless his word.